The Old Testament lesson for the 21st Sunday after Pentecost comes from Daniel chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. This will serve as our sermon text this morning. The king told Ashpenaz, the chief of his court officials, to bring some young Israelite men from the royal family or from the nobility. He was to choose young men who had no blemish, who were good-looking, who had insight into all kinds of wisdom, who possessed knowledge, understanding, and learning, and who were capable of serving in the king's palace, in order to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned them daily rations from the special royal food and from the king's own wine. He ordered that they should be trained for 3 years. At the end of training, they were to serve the king. In this group of young men were the Judeans Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief of the officials gave them new names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, Hananiah the name Shadrach, Mishael the name Meshach, and Azariah the name Abednego. Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the special food of the king or with the wine that he drank. So he sought permission from the chief official so that he would not have to defile himself. God made the chief of the officials favorable and sympathetic toward Daniel. Then the chief of the officials said to Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord the king, who assigned your food and your drink. Why should he see your faces looking less healthy than those of the other young men who are your age? You put my life at risk before the king." Daniel said to the superintendent, whom the chief of the officials had placed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Tell them to give us only vegetables, and we will eat them and drink water. Observe our appearance and the appearance of the young men who eat the special royal food. Then deal with your servants based on what you see." So he listened to what they said about this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, their appearance was noticeably better than that of the others. They were healthier than any of the young men who had been eating the special royal food. So the superintendent permanently took away the special royal food and the wine they were to drink and gave them only vegetables. As for these 4 young men, God gave them knowledge and insight into all kinds of literature as well as wisdom. In addition, Daniel also understood every kind of vision and dream. At the end of the time which the king had set for them to be brought to him, the chief of the officials brought them before Nebuchadnezzar. The king spoke with them, and none of the others were found to be comparable to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they served the king. In every matter concerning wisdom and understanding that the king sought from them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and spellcasters in his entire kingdom. So Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen again to 2 verses from our text from Daniel chapter 1, verses 9 and 17. God made the chief of the officials favorable and sympathetic toward Daniel. And as for these 4 young men, God gave them knowledge and insight into all kinds of literature as well as wisdom. This is the word of our God. And so we pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, everyone must submit himself to the governing authority. We all know the 4th commandment well. Today, we have a chance to consider that 4th commandment. Honor, that includes both obedience as well as respect. But when the 4th commandment, God's command concerning earthly rulers, rubs up against the 1st commandment, God's desire for honor to him alone, God is also unmistakably clear in his word. We must obey God rather than men. This book of Daniel actually provides the entire account of Israel, of Judah, in exile for those 70 years in Babylon, provides a wonderful case study of just that thing. The way that we show honor and respect to earthly rulers even as we still keep that first commandment of first importance in our minds. As we consider this account from Daniel chapter 1 today, we see how God was always working in the midst of those exiles, even for foreign, godless, in many cases, godless rulers. And we see how God was giving out gifts to his people in the midst of those earthly rulers. So let's ponder that today as we consider that same case for us. God gives gifts in the midst of earthly rulers. Favor, as we remain faithful to him, and wisdom, as we apply his word to this world. It's at this time in Bible history that you might expect a decline in the influence of God on his people. In fact, that was the goal of those earthly rulers in Babylon. Three things, as soon as those exiles arrived in Babylon, that were compelled upon them. First of all, their names were changed. While we can't say with certainty exactly what all of the new names meant, we know what the Hebrew names of each of these four men were. They all gave glory to the true God. Daniel, his name means, God is my judge. Hananiah means, the Lord is gracious. Mishael asks, who is what God is? And Azariah proclaims, the Lord helps me. What tributes to the name of the true God alone, such a constant reminder for them about who it was that they owe honor and glory to first and foremost of all things. So the first order of business, change those names that give tribute to the true God, erase those tributes, and then give them new names that honored heathen gods, those gods of Babylon. This was the first attempt to change the insides of these men, the way of thinking, their way of life. The second was that they would be taught according to those heathen cultures of Babylon. And this was more than just learning the language. This was learning history. This was learning religion. It included extensive learning in astrology and mythology, their belief in spiritual matters. So much of Babylonian culture would be learning the system of beliefs of that culture. It's interesting that in these two attempts at influencing these young, impressionable Hebrew men, it wasn't met by resistance. Daniel and his three companions did what the king had expected. After all, what are they going to do when someone changes the name that they address you with? And to learn a system of belief is not necessarily to believe it yourself. Faith is not just knowledge, it's also assent and confidence. And while the rulers of Babylon did what they could to change the faith of these believers, these Hebrews, nevertheless, it's clear that that faith remained constant for them throughout their time in Babylon. They remained assenting to God and his word, and confident and trusting his guidance in their lives, even in spite of the education that they received. The third, however, couldn't be allowed by Daniel in good conscience. To eat the food and drink the wine of the king of Babylon, it says twice that it would defile Daniel. He uses that term, defile. That term is used often in the later prophets in Daniel, as well as Lamentations, to describe what would take place if you turn away from God. We can't say exactly what it would have been that would have defiled Daniel, because we don't know exactly what those provisions were from the king, but we can guess with good reason according to God's word. First of all, God did have very strict rules about meat that was unclean. And perhaps it was because of that that Daniel said, I can't eat this food from the king because it would make me unclean according to God's laws. It's also very likely that wouldn't have anything to do with the wine, but perhaps, and this is also likely true, that those things that were used and eaten by the king would be used in those sacrifices to those heathen gods, not only the meat sacrifice, but even the libations that were poured out. And so Daniel joining in, taking part in these rations from the king's table, he would be honoring those gods, something that he would not be able in good conscience to do. So Daniel made up his mind in the third area to disobey, to obey God rather than men. And in Daniel's determination, what grace we see from God. It says, God made the chief of the officials favorable and sympathetic toward Daniel. Literally, it says, God gave Daniel grace and compassion before the face of the chief of the officials. What a beautiful testament to this it is to God. That God gives grace, and he gives grace even through these earthly rulers, through these earthly agents. God gave a good disposition from that official toward Daniel. God granting grace through earthly rulers. It's interesting to note here, as we understand, having respect for earthly rulers did not always include unquestioning obedience to everything that they command. Scripture makes it clear that there are times when we must disobey earthly rulers. But even then, it's interesting to note that Daniel, though he did not give obedience, still paid respect to those earthly rulers. He sought permission from the chief officials so that he would not have to defile himself. He didn't command. He made a request. He made an appeal. He asked. We too have that liberty, that opportunity to ask, not necessarily dishonoring God's representatives as we make appeals on clarifications of laws, on statutes, on ordinances and directives from God's governing officials. All the while, God was working for Daniel to give favor to Daniel through these earthly rulers, even as he remained faithful to God. And this is God carrying out what he has promised it to us at many times, and especially Romans 8. God works for the good of those who love him. This is a great example of that, how God granted favor to him as he was faithful to God, keeping God first in his life. You too can live your life in that way, remaining faithful to God, even when that faithfulness to God puts you in opposition to what an earthly ruler commands. Remain faithful to God, and God will grant you his favor, his grace. It might have been really easy for Daniel and his companions to become resentful and bitter toward those earthly rulers in Babylon. These were the ones who had ripped them out of their homes, their families and friends, and carried them to a strange place, and forced them to serve for the benefit of these captors, for these oppressors. It might have been really easy for them to hate them, for them to strive against them in some form of protest, civil disobedience. But that's not what we see Daniel and his companions doing. Instead, they served. And they served faithfully. They served well. They did not give the glory that was due to God to those earthly rulers. Nevertheless, they did give the honor that was due them, that God had assigned to them as God's agents here on earth. How eager are we to grant that honor when it's due? When officials legislate in ways that we don't agree with, do we protest? Do we disobey as a way to demonstrate our displeasure? Do we follow these rulers all the while grumbling and complaining in our hearts, or even to our family and friends about those leaders and why God made them so? Oh, how we dishonor not only those earthly authorities, but in a way we dishonor God when we do that. God who established this authority for us on earth. Yet in spite of that, God's gracious hand does overshadow us, even when we lose sight of it by dishonoring earthly authorities. Jesus taught obedience to earthly rulers, and then he submitted to them unto death on the cross, something that we would no doubt assume as injustice. Yet even unjustly, he fulfilled the goodwill of his Father in heaven to save you from all of the times when you did not want to submit to governing authorities or to give the honor that was due to them. And what favor shines down on us from heaven through him? As we consider Daniel and his companions at this time, as they learned and served under these godless rulers, they would have to work overtime to remain well-versed in the Word of God, to know that grace of God, to grow in that Word of God. They would have to be very diligent, extra diligent above all the rest, in their growth and understanding that true God and their service to him just as much as their service to those earthly rulers. They would remain faithful as sons of Israel to not lose sight of the fact that they were the sons of the promise, sons of God's plan of salvation for the world, and not only for them to know that God was saving them, but God was using them to save even those earthly rulers, so that with their growth and wisdom and understanding about all things, they would be well equipped to influence that heathen world in which they now lived. And they did. At the end of the time which the king had set for them to be brought to him, the chief of the officials brought them before Nebuchadnezzar. Think of that. An opportunity, an appearance before the king, an audience with the greatest of all, the highest ruler of the nation, of that heathen nation. And then as the king spoke with them, and none of them were found to be comparable to these four men, so that they served the king in every matter concerning all wisdom and understanding that the king sought from them, he found them 10 times better than all of those magicians and all those spellcasters in the entire kingdom. There was no comparison to the way they served faithfully before the king. The wisdom of these Hebrews far surpassed any and all abilities of the rest. What an opportunity for influence that would have been. And they did. Read the rest of Daniel's account of his time in captivity in Babylon. Read the miracles that God performed through them. Read about the way that God accomplished his will through these men to give glory to God alone above all the rest. And Daniel was there that whole time, through the entire Babylonian captivity, faithfully serving those earthly rulers. How could this be? How could such blessing come to these four young men in exile, far from home, being taught and influenced by heathen rulers with heathen beliefs in heathen lands? Well, because God gave. God gave blessings in the midst of these earthly rulers. We see that verb again in verse 17. God gave them knowledge and insight into all kinds of literature, as well as wisdom. In addition, Daniel also understood every kind of vision and dream. Throughout it all, God was giving. God was bestowing. God was working through it all, granting his blessings as these men applied the word of God to the world in which they lived. That insight, that wisdom. Think of the dreams that Daniel interpreted. To see the hand of God through the course of all of history, every human ruler, every great empire rising and then falling, and yet one stayed constant through it all. And that was the rule of God, the Lord of heaven and earth through all. To know that God's plan of salvation would never fall, because God was controlling all of human history. What insight Daniel was granted. What wisdom God granted to Daniel as they applied this truth to all the learning that they received. Friends, do you want wisdom? Consult the Lord. He will make you wise. And the greatest wisdom that you could ever hold, the greatest knowledge that you can have, is the wisdom that you have of salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, as Paul says in 2 Timothy. The wisdom that comes alone from consulting God, and then compare that wisdom to the wisdom of the world, and even the wisdom of the devil, magicians and spellcasters. Satan's power is real. That's important for us to keep in mind. Satan's power is real. His deception is real and present. Surely those dark arts of wisdom and knowledge are a cause of great traps of people in this life. But spirituality is not faith in Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, it exists. Watch out for such rulers of this dark world, as Paul warns in Ephesians 6. But as great as that power of Satan is, it pales in comparison to the wisdom that God alone can grant. And he does grant to you. In all of my working and my life as a Christian, going through school, I marvel at the way that people noticed that the Christian work ethic that I had, people saw a difference because we were serving not just when the earthly ruler saw what we were doing, when the boss's eye was on us. They saw that everything that we did was not for the glory of man, but was to give glory to God alone. That is the Savior God whom you serve in your life. Apply yourself with the wisdom that God grants to everything that you do, whatever calling you have, whatever station in life you have, whether your boss is godly or godless. You serve faithfully the one who has saved you from your sins. Put yourself diligently to that work. Serve faithfully with the wisdom that God has granted in this world that you have. Perhaps you wonder, well, how much of the Word of God did Daniel actually have in the way that we have that Word of God today? Well, it's interesting as you consider. Look at the words of the prophet Jeremiah. Yes, destruction was coming, a sad prediction that Jeremiah had to speak. But you know what God said through Jeremiah? He said, he instructed, bow your neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon. Serve him and his people, and you will live. What interesting instruction that is. And that's exactly what Daniel and these exiles were doing as Jeremiah was prophesying and writing this in Jerusalem. And they lived. For Daniel, from the beginning of the exile, for 70 years, all the way to the end of it, our text tells us at the end, he served until King Cyrus. That was the one 70 years later who gave the decree that those exiles could return to Jerusalem and rebuild that city. They lived, and God blessed them in their service. So what did God say to them? It's interesting that God sent a letter through the prophet Jeremiah directly to those exiles. In chapter 29, it's the chapter that you have such a well-known verse, a much-loved verse that you know. God says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to give you peace, not disaster, to give you hope and a future. That to those exiles in Babylon. God said, I have great plans for you. And God said that in a letter that he sent from Jeremiah in Jerusalem to those exiles in Babylon. And this is what he said, the instruction that he gave them. He said, build houses, plant gardens, get married. Seek the peace of the city where I have exiled you. Pray to the Lord for that city, because when it has peace and prosperity, you will have peace and prosperity. He goes on, the Lord of armies, the God of Israel, says this, do not let the prophets and fortune tellers who are among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams they dream for you, for they prophesy falsely in my name. But I did not send them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. After 70 years have passed in Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious word to bring you back to this place. God's plans. His plans for them? Live. Work. Build houses. Make your homes there and serve faithfully, according to the Word of God, as you know that grace of God in Jesus Christ. And then I will carry out that gracious word to bring you back home. What instruction for us today. Live your lives. Build your homes. Live among even unbelieving nations and unbelieving rulers. Pray for blessing on the cities where you live, on the country that you have. Because when they have peace and prosperity, you have peace and prosperity. And learn. And grow. Even in the things that the world has to teach, learn about that theory of evolution. Grow in your understanding how the world views its existence so that you'll be better equipped to properly instruct about what God says in this regard. Grow in your understanding about their view of the world, about the supernatural, of the things beyond what is tangible and observable. Learn about this belief of the world. Then you will be well equipped to present the truth of God to the world. how that one who is invisible did come in the flesh. How he came to bring salvation to the world. How God entered human history in his Son, Jesus Christ, who also impressed as a young boy in the midst of earthly rulers, who also, according to his human nature, was filled with wisdom and God's favor was on him, who also truly had no blemish, in whom was never any sin, who never once defiled himself so that he could be the perfect sacrifice to the only true God to make payment for all of your sins, who after 3 years of earthly ministry made that perfect sacrifice in death, who rose from the dead and took his seat at the right hand of the ruler of heaven and earth and all things, the one who has control of all your life. This one, who gives out gifts to you even in the midst of earthly rulers, who gives favor to you as you faithfully serve him, and who gives wisdom as you apply his word in the world in which you live. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.